I'd like you to turn with me this morning to Mark's Gospel, into chapter 11. Just going to read one verse again this morning. Mark 11 and verse 13. The Lord Jesus, seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came and he looked if he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Our subject this morning is real Christianity. What is it? Authentic Christianity. Do you like what's real, genuine, honest, and authentic? Or are you happy to have something that's fake, false, superficial, counterfeit? Well, I remember when I was a young person finding a £20 note. We don't really have many notes nowadays. People use credit cards and plastic, and even the money that we use, it's got a sort of plastic feeling to it. But in those days, £5, £10, £20 notes were made of paper. And you could tell if the note was genuine by holding it up, and you could see a piece of metal which had been put between the sheets of paper, and on one side you could see it like a dotted line. You held it up and you knew if it was real because it had this piece of silver metal going through the £20 note. Once I worked in a shop, and there was a time when there was lots of fake banknotes going round. Somebody had got a printing press and they'd printed fake money. And the government said, you need to check. Is the money real? Some of it was obviously just fake printed paper. Fake or authentic? What about your life? Do you have an authentic Christian life? Let me give another illustration. I don't know very much about watches, but I'm told one of the most popular and expensive watches is a Rolex. These can cost £500, £1,000. But just imagine if you'd spent £1,000. You showed the watch that you've bought, shiny and new. You showed it to a lady who was an expert. She turned it over and she said, there's no kite mark. It's a fake. It's been made in another country. It's not real. You've been duped all along. You've thought that was a real Rolex watch. Well, I don't normally start with two illustrations, but really the message this morning is about real versus fake, authentic versus counterfeit. The Lord Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and the following day, we looked at this last week, he is hungry. He's been up all night. He's grief-struck by the sin that he's seen in the temple. He doesn't eat that night, and he comes and he sees a fig tree. And he wonders, is there something here just to keep him going? A few figs. Figs are very good for giving quick energy, energy that will sustain us. And he looks to the tree, and what does he see? Just leaves. The fig tree that has leaves should have fruit at the same time. That's one of the features of fig trees. The leaf and the fig are formed at the same time. But the Lord Jesus looks and he sees no fruit, no figs. It's a fig tree by name. It's a fig tree by leaf, but not a fig tree by fruit. Is there somebody here this morning? People think that you're a Christian. You might read the Bible. You obviously go to chapel because you're here. People might say, oh yes, he or she, they're a Christian. But there's no fruit. You're just covered by leaves. A bit like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The only thing covering you is fig leaves. You've not really been covered by the blood of Christ. There hasn't been a shedding of blood for you as there was with Adam and Eve when the animal was slain and the covering, the coat of the animal was given for Adam and Eve. So that's the message this morning. Authentic, real Christianity. Well, the Lord Jesus is going to teach through a tree the difference between these two types of people. We've got them represented here this morning. There's some of you I see by the character of your life. I'm going to give you 5 tests later. But I can see, watching, observing, knowing you, I can see that there is fruit in your life. There's others. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. I don't know you that well. But I always look for fruit. The Lord Jesus comes to this tree and he's looking. Is the fruit? Is there the evidence that it is a fig tree? Or is there just a sham covering on the outside? The Lord Jesus looks at it and he says, you will never bear fruit. This is a unique parable. Let's just have 3 headings this morning. What Christ looked for, what Christ found, what Christ did, very simply. What he looked for, what he found, and what he did. So he comes looking for fruit. That's what you do when you come to a fig tree. What's the point of a fig tree? Maybe it can give a bit of shade in the summer from the leaves, but not really what it was intended for. The Lord Jesus comes looking for fruit. He comes to your life and my life, and he wants to see evidence that what God intended you to have in your life, you've got it. Well, the illustration is very straightforward. The fig tree is a picture of the whole nation of Israel. They had been so blessed. They'd had God's laws. They'd had the prophets. They'd had the first 5 books of the Bible. They'd had miracles in the wilderness. They'd been given so much evidence that God is in heaven, that God forgives, that God is merciful, that he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. And so he comes to the nation of Israel and he says, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in your life? All he sees is leaves. What does that mean? Formality. Externals. Ritual. Do you know there are churches? Don't wish to criticize others. When you go to a particular type of church, there are candles, incense, altars. You say set prayers. It's a ritual. You go through the formality. But you know that could be the same here this morning. You could come out of habit. You could follow the readings out of habit. You could come and read the Bible out of habit. But there's nothing going on the inside. Let me tell you some things about fig trees. Fig trees don't have blossom. Did you know that? Apples, plums, pears, they have blossom. And then when the petals drop off, the fruit is formed. Figs are completely different. Inside the branch, the figs are formed. They swell, and then the figs start to come. There's no pollination, no bees required. And the fruit's not formed until the tree has been alive for 3, 4, 5 years. What an illustration of us. You're a young person, 4 or 5 years old. Do you have any fruit for God? A fig tree should have fruit when it gets to 5 years old. Have you got any fruits of character inside your heart? The fig tree keeps its fruit for a long time. Some of you might know that 1 year's figs can often stay over the whole of winter, and they ripen gradually over a number of months. Well, what about your life and your heart? Have you got fruit ripening for God? Kindness, grace, forgiveness, patience. You know the fruits that God looks for. We know what they are. The fruits of the Spirit, says Galatians 5:22, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Oh, what a challenging list. Are there adults here this morning? You don't always show self-control with your children. You're impatient. You want everything done your way, now, to your agenda. There's no peace in your heart for God. There's no long-suffering and patience. You want things right now. Must be what you want. Oh, it's challenging, isn't it? Fruit for God is the fruit in your heart, in your life. The Lord Jesus comes looking for fruit. He just finds leaves. What good are they? The leaves will disappear. They won't really help anybody. Some people think this final phrase in verse 13 is a bit unfair. For the time of the figs was not yet. Well, remember, this is a parable. The Lord Jesus is saying, the nation of Israel, you've had all these privileges. Christ has not yet died. But when he has, that will be the time for fruit. The Lord Jesus says this on Monday, and he's going to die 4 days later. This is a final solemn warning. Children of Israel, Pharisees, scribes, priests, will you have fruit for God? He puts a curse on the tree. This is the only parable, to my knowledge, where the Lord Jesus does something in judgment. He causes death, destruction. He causes there to be a complete loss of life. Normally the Lord Jesus gives life, gives sight, gives healing. But on this occasion, he curses the tree. No man eat fruit of the hereafter. Remember, this is a parable. 4 days' time, I've told you many times before, I will die on the cross. The end of the opportunity for the Israelites will be over. Now will be the New Testament church. The opportunity for you will have finished. From then on, there won't be sacrifices, there won't be rituals, it will be heart religion. Actually, it always was. All the way through the Old Testament, the Lord didn't require sacrifice. He required fruit. He required evidence on the lips and in the heart. But Jesus comes to this tree and he curses it. This is a prophecy. 4 days' time, your opportunity will be ended. So he looks for fruit, but all he finds is leaves. Do you remember the words of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation to the church at Sardis. He said, I know your works, I know your labors. Some people can be so industrious, thinking they're working for God. I know your works, that you have a name, name only, that you live, but you're dead. There's no character. There's no fruit. There's no grace, no patience, no long suffering. Maybe the people that you live with know that. They know that you're two people. Somebody in public, a different person at home. Fake, false, not genuine, not real. Do you have authentic Christianity? Do you have the love of Christ in your heart? Do you have fruit forming within that will be revealed? They were just following tradition. It was a sort of ancestral religion. They did what their fathers did and their fathers did. They did it because it was expected of them. Well, that's no good, is it? The Lord wants heart religion. He wants the kite mark, the evidence that we're truly born again and that we've got the fruit to show it. You see, Christ looks behind the curtain of our lives. He takes the leaves away and he looks to see, is the fruit there? Fruit for me, fruit of obedience, fruit for God, oh, fruit for heaven, for eternity. Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Because this life will pass away, and one day we'll stand before God, and the books will be opened, and he'll see how we've lived. No fruit for your heavenly Father? No fruit for your Creator? Oh, what a shame that would be. Just leaves. Well, the third point this morning, what did Christ do? He judges. Well, they come to Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus is going to judge. And he's going to make sure that what he said will come to pass. Verse 20, in the morning, as they pass by, every time the Lord Jesus prophesies something, every time he says something will happen, it happens. It's certain. Peter says, do you remember? We passed that fig tree over there yesterday. And they come to the fig tree and it's withered up. Judgment was certain. The solemn, serious judgment of Christ, 24 hours later, exactly as he said it would be. Why did he do this? Is it harsh? Is Christ an unforgiving, judging God? Is the Bible full of wrath and anger? Is God capricious? Is he unkind? No. What he was doing was giving a final gracious warning. You see that fig tree? If you don't repent, if you don't turn to God, if you don't have religion within your heart and soul, you could be like the fig tree. The fig tree in one day. The nation of Israel in 4 days. Because the Old Testament is drawing to a close. You see, he did this to promote faith. Let's look down at the verses here. And Jesus answering said unto them, verse 22, have faith in God. 4 words in English, 3 in the Greek. Why am I doing this? Why am I judging that fig tree? Why am I picking on one tree? And the Lord Jesus gives the application. He gives the lesson. He says, all of you listening, look at the fig tree. It's a parable. You don't need ritual anymore. That was just a visual aid. You don't need sacrifice anymore. That was to point to Christ, who would die on the cross. You now need faith, real, living faith. Faith in God's word, faith in the Son of God, faith in a Savior, faith that what I say is true, that I'm going to die in 4 days' time, and then I shall rise again to evidence that I am the Son of God, and that you too can rise again when you've been washed with my precious blood. Have faith in God. Have faith in me, says Christ. And then he gives a further illustration, verse 23. For verily I tell you, I solemnly declare unto you, it is true that whosoever shall say to this mountain, pointing to the Mount of Olives, whosoever will say to this mountain, move. He's using it again as an illustration. He doesn't literally mean the Mount of Olives will move. But when you pray some great prayer, and when you exercise faith in God, God will hear you. Not when you pay money. Somebody was telling me last night about a pastor in Kenya. When he goes to his church, he goes on a horse parading through the streets, and the whole church follows him, and they bow down and worship him, and they give money to him, and then he promises them healing and health and wealth and prosperity. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, have faith in God, not in the pastor, not in a pastor riding on a horse. Have faith in God. Believe. Believe that what he says is true, is true. How much more evidence do we need that that is right? Everything he said in the Old Testament has come to pass. He said the fig tree would wither, it's withered. He said he would die on the cross, he did. He said he would rise again, he has. It's never for lack of evidence. The issue is our heart. What about your heart this morning? Will you have faith in God? Look at the mountain. If you believe it will move, it shall move. He shall have whatsoever he saith. If you've got a great burden this morning, a problem in your life, have you put your faith in God? Do you believe that he'll answer your prayer? That he'll help you? Do you have an unconverted husband or wife or child or relative? Are you praying? Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, he makes the same point. What things soever ye desire. Of course, they've got to be spiritual things. They've got to be things that God would want. Things that he offers and promises. When ye pray, believe. Believe that God will answer your prayer. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. He doesn't promise you a Rolls Royce. He doesn't promise you a third aeroplane. He doesn't promise you a bigger house. He promises spiritual blessings. He promises that you will know his presence in your life. He promises answers to prayer in your family life. He promises that he'll overcome and you will overcome your besetting sins. He promises you fellowship when you draw near to other believers. He promises that you'll understand his word. He promises that every time you think of Calvary, your heart will be touched as you think of what Christ has done for your own soul. He promises many answers to prayer, an inexhaustible supply of answers to prayer. We've known it. We've seen it. We have a prayer meeting every week, sometimes two, and we've prayed and God has answered, and he'll do so again. Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now here's a challenge, verse 25. We shall think about exactly the same theme this evening. When ye stand praying. Is he speaking to the Pharisees that used to like to stand to pray so everybody could hear their long prayers? When ye stand to pray, forgive. You want answers to prayer, and you're not willing to forgive. You want God to forgive you, and you're not willing to forgive others. Your memory, as we mentioned earlier, remembers all the sins and failings of your wife, of your husband, of your children. Going back through many years, you've got a Rolodex in your mind. You broke that promise. You did this. You didn't do something at home that you should have done, and you remember it. You play it back. You're like a tape recorder. No. If you want the Lord to bless your life, you've got to be willing to forgive. So have I. When you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught, if you have anything that you should forgive, you've got to do it. Against any. Not just the people who are willing to forgive you, you need to reciprocate, but you've got to forgive even the people who haven't said sorry. Forgive them before they've even asked. Is there a husband and wife? Darling, forgive me. Wouldn't it be good if we could say, you don't even need to ask. You're forgiven already. Because I love you. Because I know you didn't mean to hurt. You didn't mean to do it. And then it goes on. Verse 25, that your Father also, you see, your attitude to people in your family, your neighbors, your colleagues, will determine whether your Father in heaven will bless you. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. If you want to be forgiven by your heavenly Father, you first need to have a new heart, a heart that's willing to forgive. The fruit needs to be formed within your heart before you can have the figs on the outside. Otherwise, your religion is just leaves. It's just a sham. It's fake. It's tradition. It's keeping what's expected. Dressing formally. But inside, there's a heart of hatred. A heart that won't forgive. Oh, this should not be. Verse 26, our closing verse. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Do you know what happens to sin? We have some sin in our heart. We've remembered what somebody has done years before. They crossed me. They wronged me. They cause me great hurt. And that sin begins to eat into the heart. A bitterness, a resentment like a cancer begins to eat away in the heart. You know what cancer does? It won't stop. Nothing will stop cancer unless it's been healed. the only one that can heal and restore and forgive the much worse cancer of sin and bitterness and resentment is the Lord Jesus. But he will only forgive when you desire forgiveness, and when you desire to forgive others, and when you start to believe that he has forgiven you, and then you'll have answers to your prayers. Do you see how this works? There's a challenge. Let me recap. The Lord sees one fig tree. That's you. That's me. He comes looking for fruit. He lifts up the leaves. Where's the fruit? None. Not one. Nothing that God was looking for. And so he challenges them. And he challenges us and says, is the fruit in your life? Maybe there is no fruit because you haven't got a new heart. You haven't got a heart that forms fruit from within. Fruit that starts with forgiving others for what they've done before you can be forgiven. Because Christ won't forgive you until you desire to be right with God. And until you start to show that right affection to other people. What did Christ look for? Fruit. What did he find? Leaves. What did Christ do? He solemnly warned. But why did he do that? To promote faith. That's what he's looking for. Have faith in God. There's two kinds of faith. Saving faith, where your lack of forgiveness and your resentment and your counterfeit religion might just be the obstacle that's standing in the way of you having a new heart. But then there's living faith that should have fruit, much of it. Living faith that God is looking for. Have faith in God. Now those five tests. Is there somebody here this morning and you don't know? Do you have real, authentic faith? Five tests, very quickly. What position does faith occupy in your inner heart? Is it the most important thing in your life? Or is it just on a list of five? Only you can answer this. Secondly, what's your attitude to your own sin and the sin of others? Do you hate your sin? And are you willing to forgive others? Thirdly, what's your thoughts and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he everything to you? Is he the foundation that you're building your life upon? Does his shed blood and perfect righteousness mean everything to you? Fourthly, what fruit does your faith produce in your life? Is there evidence of fruit? Can others see it? By your kindness and your faithfulness and your forgiving nature? And fifthly, what priority do the means of grace, God's word, prayer, the prayer meeting, the Bible study, meeting with other believers, what position and priority do they have in your life? You know the answers to those questions. Five questions. The position of your faith, the attitude to your sin, the thoughts that you have of Christ, the fruit that your faith produces, and the priority that the means of grace have in your life. Maybe those can help you this morning to know whether you have counterfeit or perhaps you already have real, authentic heart.